Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show. And if we got a show for you, we have Seth Rollins as a special guest referee. We have Braun Breaker still killing everybody. And the Wyatt Six are back in action in the ring. Before we get started, I got to be a little bit serious here for a second. This country had some big news happen, and there was some big personnel changes, and we're seeing it here. Justin Labar has returned. Justin, we're excited to have you back here at Wrestling Inc. You came home, buddy.
All great things must come to an end, and so that's that. And this is the start of another great thing. I'm back after a few weeks of hiatus. Missed you, boys. Glad to be back. And I figured, what a perfect Monday to come back on to see Jack Farmer when it's Akira Tozawa's birthday. That's just seemed the most appropriate.
I mean, this was probably one of my favorite episodes of Raw I've seen in a very long time. Akira is ready. He had quite a show. We're going to talk about it. But Jimmy, you and someone had a memo. You and Justin, you're wearing matching colors, didn't send me the memo, and now I'm missing out.
Well, you should pay attention to all the Twitter or whatever, the feeds that are going back and forth there. You know what I'm saying? Because you know why? Oh, my God, we're back again.
Yes.
Justin Farmer, everybody sing.
Yes, we are back. This is going to be a good time. We're going to talk about this show. I'm going to be honest, I was gushing on Twitter. This thing started as a great show. It went through the whole time. I absolutely love this one, but we got to talk about news first. I'm so excited to get into this one. Everyone who's coming through already, thank you so much for all the support in here. Stalking you with the little doggy emoji, and Andrew coming through. Haven't seen you in a while, Andrew. Triple J, baby. Good to see you. Thanks for coming. But man, we got some news. We got some big news. This was actually some news that a lot of people on social media were all a tizzy about. Looks like some contracts are expiring soon. Tamina is one of them, but also per Fightful and PW Insider, Lashley and MVP, after being offered a new contract, Lashley appears to have not liked what was offered and will be departing WWE. MVP's contract expires mid-August and is likely to expire without a new deal. Justin, you get a big one coming back in. Big questions. Lashley, MVP, Tamina as well. Thoughts on these three becoming free agents?
Well, Tamina really hasn't been much of a factor in terms of WWE's plans in years. You know, obviously she has, you know, family pedigree. Who's to say just because she hasn't been really a full-time talent in the ring, and I don't know when the last time somebody would have to, I guess, look at the cage match or whatever the thing that keeps track of that. But you know, maybe there's still a role in the WWE family for her, whether that be producer or a trainer, if that's what she wants, or maybe she wants to be wrestling some more. So we'll have to see. But you know, that's not really a big shaking, you know, departure in terms of a talent contract, at least. MVP, you know, I suspect, you know, he is not done with the wrestling business. I'm sure he will pop up somewhere. More than ever, there are options. Obviously, AEW, of course, the number two to most people's rankings, but, you know, TNA, obviously, with great momentum, NWA, MLW. So I'm sure whatever he wants to do, if he still wants to take some bumps, there will be a place for him. Bobby Lashley, obviously the biggest name. Tremendous athlete, well liked in the locker room, very nice person all around. I mean, I really can't say anything negative about him from any of my interactions with him personally or professionally, or watching him as a fan. But I will say, I think that I don't know what else there really was to do in WWE for him. I know some people might think the Hurt Business had more life to it. Maybe it did. Maybe it could have. But beyond that, I think that he was so heavily relied on, and he did such a tremendous job during, you know, one of the darkest times and the empty arena era of the pandemic. It just feels like there's kind of nothing left really to do or see of Bobby Lashley in the WWE world. He's accomplished everything. So that's the biggest one. And again, if he still wants to contribute in the ring somewhere, there are options, as I said.
Yeah, Jimmy, I agree. I think all three of them can continue in this. A lot of people, I think, were a little upset. They feel like there was money left on the table with Hurt Business. I think there were some people who were saying, how could you not keep Lashley, but also Lashley maybe not signing? Mm-hmm. I always think, again, and this goes, and we've talked about a number of contracts expiring. I always pump the brakes a little bit. Any number of things could have been the issue here. I mean, Lashley, I saw, it looks like he's 48 years old. I had to look that up because based on how he looks, he's like 24. But MVP as well. There's a million reasons why maybe a deal didn't work out. Maybe it was just, hey, I don't want to do this many dates. Maybe it's I want to get paid more. Maybe it's I want to be featured more. Maybe, I don't know. It's hard to say why this didn't work out, but it doesn't look like it worked out, and potentially could be a big boon for, again, AEW, Impact, the Indies. I mean, could you imagine the Hurt Business rolling through these Louise?
Yeah, and of course, they'd have to change the name. They'll find something creative if they want to do that again. But it's just the unfortunate nature of the business. For someone like a Bobby Lashley, too, who had a great run for a while there, and then with his Hurt Business stuff, I think he was saddled with something that wasn't working for some reason, whether it was the way the creative had set them up and the fans weren't buying into it or whatever the case may be. And the unfortunate thing nowadays, I think you might agree with this, Justin, is a lot of people remember the bad stuff too much, as opposed to saying, you know what, let's forget all that, put it in the past, and let's move forward and see what they do next. They keep concentrating on, well, you know, when they were doing this deal or this gimmick, whatever, that didn't work, and why should I buy into him now? Because it's something different, you know. That's my mentality, and sometimes, you know, some talents get affected by that, and I think that was the unfortunate case with someone like a Bobby Lashley, because he is a player. He is a guy who can really provide some top-tier talent for anybody out there, including WWE. But if the top of the card is so stacked like it is seeming to get right now, maybe it is tough to find a place for him. And maybe, you know, he could pull a Drew McIntyre. Like, that's the biggest example we use all the time, going somewhere else and reinventing himself, and them looking at him and going, you know what? Now we've got something in this guy. He's got something different. Go ahead, Justin.
Didn't he kind of already do that, Bobby Lashley? I mean, we forget.
Yeah.
You know, I have to remind myself that, you know, I was at WrestleMania 23 in 2007 when it's a battle of Vince versus Trump, and Bobby's in Trump's. Like, Bobby had a run on the top of the card then, disappeared from WWE, you know, he was in Impact and it went around the globe, and then he came back the night after Mania, what, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and he's had, again, a whole other run with them. I mean, so it's like he already did the Drew McIntyre, he already did the Cody Rhodes in a way. So it's like, I mean, again, if he wants to go do it again, power to him. As we said, he's in phenomenal shape for a 48-year-old, but, you know, I just, you can't sign everybody, you can't have everybody, you can't keep everybody, despite what Tony Khan's talent budget will tell you. As you're trying to always get younger and you're trying to pump talent through the system, whether it be through, you know, PC and the NXT, or you acquire Jade Cargill's, or you get Cody Rhodes to come back. I mean, like you got to keep getting younger. Right. You got to keep moving. You can't keep everybody. And so
exactly,
you know, it's just the nature. It's true. And that's with anything. That's with any sport. You know, you can't keep everybody. That's why there's a salary cap in most sports.
You're right.
Well, and it reminds me too of the fact that there's also only so many spots for what you're looking for. The Hurt Business is great. Bobby Lashley is great. But if you look at the landscape of WWE at the time, you had the Bloodline, you have the Judgment Day, you have all these groups that are already big, powerful groups. There's only so many you can have. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of in football. I always love to use that as an analogy or an example of, you know, I think back to the Colts when they had Peyton Manning with years he could still play. But then they also had Andrew Luck. And it's like, yes, they're both great, but you can't have both. Like, there's just not space for both on the roster. So sometimes someone's got to go. And that may have been the case with Bobby Lashley. Again, I don't know. Maybe they offered him the world and he was just like, I'd rather not do it. I don't know. But Justin, my question for you is, as far as places to go, this is the big question. TNA has been great. TNA has been on the rise. It's been hot right now. A lot of great talents there. But because they are kind of working with WWE, and a lot of people are looking at that as a place for WWE to pull from, if you're a former top-of-the-card WWE guy, is there something that would make you not want to go to a TNA, which is kind of like where like the future talent is, if that makes sense? Does it kind of feel like I'm just taking a smaller contract for a smaller company to try to be a part of the same big company I was already at, if that makes sense?
Not necessarily. You know, I think that, you know, I look at my our new Busted Open co-host and colleague, Nick Nemeth, and of course now world champion. You look at a situation where it's like, if you can get whatever dollar amount you want with the TNA, you know, be committed to their dates, but if you also have the freedom to still work other shows, I mean, that's kind of the best of both worlds. Is you're on this brand that's got, you know, 20 years of history, and you know has some juice behind it, some momentum behind it. But you know, and if you can get paid again, whatever number is satisfying to you, but then again, still have the freedom to do other things, other you know, indie shots, conventions, whatever. I mean, I don't think I think of anything. It's kind of like a you know, you're just still kind of keeping your foot partially in that WWE. Sphere of, hey, you know, the two companies are talking, doing business, so you know, I'm not completely, you know, exiting the scene. And who knows, maybe we have a TNA versus NXT War Games, and wouldn't that be a fun spin of where I was once the WWE guy, but now I'm leading Team TNA. You know, I mean, like there's I don't think to your question of TNA, I don't think that's I think if anything, it might be a little attractive. You know, it might, if you can, you know, if you're a Bobby Lashley, if you can get a deal like a Nick Nemeth has, or like a Matt Hardy has, you know, where it's like, ooh, I can get paid, but I still have some freedom, but oh, I'm also still kind of like a little bit associated with WWE and NXT. Mm-hmm. What's going on? I mean, that's an exciting possibility. Again, you can't TNA can't sign everybody, so but
right. I mean, there's so much wrestling talent right now. I feel like we're saying about every company. Well, not they can't sign everywhere. Well, geez, everybody can't sign everybody. It's a great time. As a pro wrestling fan, to see so many great companies out there. And speaking of so many great companies, Fox, the Fox-owned streaming platform Tubi, is once again expressing interest in having wrestling on their platform, whether it be partnering with a pre-existing promotion or developing their own. Now, Tubi, Jimmy, has had talks in the past with other companies like MLW. Apparently that was squashed due to a WWE situation there, and there was some legal disputes between the two. But speaking of, there are so many wrestling companies, and wrestling, the business is so good right now. Tubi looking to get involved, whether it be bringing someone in or a current company starting their own, again, has to be good news. Who would you like to see go to Tubi? Would you like them to start their own company? Would you like them to bring in an AEW, a TNA, an MLW, who they talked to in the past, NWA, any thoughts on that?
I would like to see them bring in somebody that has already been out there as opposed to somebody new, because then you have to start fresh. You have to start over. And if you got someone like an MLW or an NWA or anybody, some, you know, like GCW, let's say, anybody like that, they've already got a bit of a following. So you've at least got a base to work with. Then the word can get out there and hopefully expand that base. So for me, that's that's what I would like to see. I would like to see them use somebody like that to build a platform on when they've already got a little bit of a foundation, as opposed to somebody starting fresh out of the gate.
Yeah, Baby Ice saying, give NWA a chance in the chat here. Justin, thoughts on this? I mean, my initial thought is I'd love to see a company that maybe has difficulties getting to a nationwide audience or difficulties being seen by everyone, which could be a TNA, could be a MLW or an NWA. I'd love to see them get the opportunity to get in more households easier. AEW, they're getting into households just fine. So, and I'm sure they'll be okay. So I always like more people getting a seat at the table. So I'd like to see someone like that get an opportunity here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, TNA, they have a great streaming of their pay-per-views via Triller TV. But, you know, I do think their weekly programming is not as accessible, depending on what, you know, what, like, I don't get the channel for, like, so I have to do some, I have to really work to get, you know, I cut the cord over a year ago. And so the streaming platforms that I combine and use to catch everything, I don't get TNA weekly. So I have to, you know, do some shady maneuvering online to make it happen. But I would love to see, you know, whoever get some kind of upgrade in regularity with the stream if Tubi is in fact interested. You know, streaming is an interesting dynamic right now, and Jack, you know, this is that streaming is every day becomes more prevalent in our society and our consuming behavior, but yet the streaming platforms are still, most of them are struggling to make money to have all this content, so hence why we're seeing so many mergers take place. So I'm not, but I get to say all that to say, but I'm not surprised that a 2B might be interested in pro wrestling, because pro wrestling has proven that they can provide weekly television compared to what it takes to normally produce weekly television in the TV world. Wrestling is cheap, and we know wrestling fans are loyal and rabid, so you're going to get some degree of loyalty. Obviously, everything's different tier. You have the WWE tier here, then you have AEW, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it's still a guaranteed audience that you can build off of. The only thing that surprised me about Tubi is that if they're owned by Fox, from what I've heard, you know, we know Fox is getting out of the WWE game here once the SmackDown deal expires later this year. I've been under the impression that Fox did not think that they got. I don't think the WWE. I don't know if they thought they got their investment in full of what they ended up paying for the 5 years of SmackDown. I don't know Fox if it worked out exactly how both parties wanted to. That's just some things I've heard. So, you know, so that made me go, okay, are they saying, all right, no more pro wrestling for us, or we will do pro wrestling, but we're going to do it on our streaming service over here, and we're going to do it for far less money of investment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows? But yeah, I would love to see anybody get on Tubi just to get more weekly exposure.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why when people start talking ratings and things, I kind of go, eh, whatever, because all ratings aren't considered equal. You know, in this case, Fox had the number one rated wrestling show in the world, and they're not happy. But at the same time, like, hey, if we got something cheaper on a different platform, that could still it's all different. It's all weird. But it does show that wrestling is at least valuable to TV companies and streaming. And yeah, I want to see more wrestling companies get over to streaming so I already cut the cord. Now I want to cut you, Sling. unless you're a sponsor, then Sling, get it today.
YouTube TV, I love you. I do the NFL Sunday package and everything.
Yeah, YouTube TV is good too. Yeah, but just get on stream. Everything needs to get on streaming already.
I don't know if I should put this out there, but I miss the good old days where up here in Canada we used to get the gimmick box on the satellite with the card. Yeah, wide open.
You got everything for free.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, those are the. Yeah.
Man, I miss those days.
That's the only reason as a youngster I was able to watch every single wrestling pay-per-view that came on. Come on.
Same. That's why from like 1997 through like 2003, every movie that was on pay-per-view or a movie channel is right in my wheelhouse because there would be five. Yeah. They ran 24/7, so you could just watch each of them all nonstop. Yeah. And of course, you got your wrestling on Sundays every month.
Yep. Dylan says, Jack wants Sling in the NXT parking lot. One of us ain't surviving the NXT parking lot. But last piece of news here, and we're talking about how you can only sign so many people. Interesting note. Apparently, WWE is interested in signing more international women's stars. Fightful Select notes that sources close to Australia's Delta Brady believe that she's signed with WWE after she finishes her recent commitments, as well as other stars have been in conversations with WWE. Justin, we say you can't sign everybody, you can't keep everybody, but when AEW started, it definitely felt like there was this grab for talent, and I think we kept thinking that that was going to stop, but it feels like it's still going. It's just in waves now.
Yeah, well, and WWE's, they're being strategic about their acquisitions. They already have, a lot, Valkyria and Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. They already have a lot of representation from the female specifically, and just the roster in general, internationally. I mean, it's more diverse than ever. If you go down the card and you say, okay, what's the country of origin for this talent? But they have a plan. Some of their plans somewhat got delayed, as everybody's plans got delayed when COVID hit. But it's still part of the company vision. It's still part of and Triple H very much behind this, because he was very much behind the PC in Orlando. They want to take over the world. They want to have PCs and NXT breeding grounds around the world. And so that plays into the strategy of, talent they sign and where that talent's from. Look, I know this has happened right as I went on my vacation, so I haven't got to talk to either of you about it, but Stephanie Backer, she has the great match at Forbidden Door with AEW, and then just next thing you know, she's peace out to CMLL and New Japan and everything, and she's signed with NXT. WWE has long wanted to really infiltrate the Mexican wrestling market, which obviously pro wrestling is huge. Lucha Libre is huge in Mexico. They've been chasing for who's the next Rey Mysterio for years. It wasn't Sin Cara. They've constantly and I think they had some plans. Pandemic put on hold, and I hear they're going to do a PLE in Mexico in 2025. And so when you know all that, for them to get a major talent like Stephanie Vecker, it's like, okay, well, this, so they're being strategic. They have a plan here. They are coming for the entire wrestling world. I know Japan. They're going to Japan for live events later this week. Obviously, you have New Japan Pro Wrestling, huge there, but WWE, I one day I would not be surprised if they have NXT Japan or PC in Tokyo. Yeah. I would not be surprised if in the next 10 years that's a thing. There's a strategy here.
And Jimmy, if that were to happen, how cool would that be to have these performance centers all over the world? And as the Olympics is getting ready to start, I think you could have a true international world champion, and you could have people from every single country saying, this person's from my country, this person represents me, and you could have that cool pride from different nations fight being represented. And like I said, like the Olympics, you could have a tournament for the world's greatest where everyone sends their best, and you can follow these different companies. How cool would that be? I think as a wrestling fan, that just blows my mind that is absolutely a potential reality.
It is interesting because, like you said, they have it all in the UK. They've tried that already. So expanding to other places, maybe even a Mexico. Maybe, like you said, Japan is definitely an option. And you mentioned having like an Olympics kind of deal where everybody holds a tournament to determine who is the world's best NXT superstar. Mm-hmm. And have that one talent as your world champion traveling to each, incarnation of NXT, whether it's Japan, whether it is Mexico, UK, and have a different rivalry with their top, whatever there.
It's the territory model of the 80s, but it's global. And, somebody save this clip right now. I just said what I said about NXT, having NXT Japan in the next 10 years and NXT Mexico. We obviously already have NXT UK. Like, I could see them getting to the point where they have enough NXTs on major countries and continents around the world. And then imagine when we get to the January or early February PLE, of course you have your Raw and SmackDown Royal Rumble. Imagine if on that same weekend you had an NXT Royal Rumble, where how are we filling out 30 superstars, men and women? All the NXTs from across the globe eligible for the NXT Royal Rumble. It's all there.
And how exciting would that Royal Rumble be? Again, if you have, if you're someone who's a fan from Japan and that you're country is sending three representatives to the Royal Rumble, and you're like, we're the final five and one of my representatives hasn't come out yet. I can feel like my team is winning. I mean, the only problem is America's number one and we win every time, baby. That's how we do.
Oh, no. Don't make me do my bad Iron Sheik impersonation right now, okay?
Jack Farmer, you jabroni, or hot
Jimmy, baby, what's this Jack talking about?
USA, USA. See, I'm already excited for it. I already want to cheer for the USA. But everyone in the chat, let us know what you think about the idea of an international NXT or just WWE, I guess at that point. And everyone in the chat, I mean like Tommy O and Tut Graf and Max and Tox and Einsteiner Rap. I don't see enough Einsteiner Rap. You gotta come around more. Adonde, Goodfella, Andy Hannigan, and Chad and I Am Error making it to a live show. Appreciate you, Tony Hayes, the King Art, Casey J. Can't say all your names. There's too many of you. Mike Martin, Dylan Matthews, Baby Ice, Joe CJ, Willie Reaper, Brink. Appreciate you all coming through, yes, though. But Huffman Elite Training. I know what you do. You sneak in and you wait until I start saying the names, and then you say something in the chat. I know how you guys game the system, but it's okay.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about the show. Like I said, I'm fired up. This was one of my favorite Raws in a very, very long time. This episode, this week, it started with Gunther coming out and said he meant every word about Damian Priest being street trash. And then he called the entire Judgment Day street trash. Gunther wants Priest to hand him the title, but Priest punches him in the face. They brawl. They don't stop, even as people try to separate them. After the commercial, the fight continues. This was awesome. Justin, chaos to start. If you drew up how I love my wrestling shows to start, this is it. I was... When Damian Priest popped out of nowhere in the back, I cackled. I was like, it's still going. I loved it. I loved it, Justin.
No, I did too. This was the exact follow-up that needed to happen from last week's promo exchange. I mean, last week's promo exchange did a good bit of business. You know, you going into last week, you know, Gunther's kind of been just hanging around, right? Because he won his number one contender match, you know, for SummerSlam, you know, earlier the summer, winning the King of the Ring. So he's just kind of been hanging around. He's been getting some much needed time off after the run that he had as IC champion, quite frankly, but he's just been kind of there. And then, okay, so Priest makes it through, you know, now, okay, Priest still champion. So it's like they needed to heat this thing up and spice it up. Last week's promo got very personal and it was very, very relatable. Everybody can relate to it. You have this elitist who's telling you about how great he is and, you know, all this. And then, you know, here's the guy, Damian Priest, who had to fight, you know, come from humble begins and fight to get everything he's gotten. Very relatable. Everybody can understand that, you know, and feel the put down after all the words that Gunther said to Priest last week. And then Gunther comes back down tonight and doubles down on it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to be said. Priest comes out and just punches him in the mouth. That's all that needs to be said. And the brawl continued. And I agree. We see Jackie Redman, and then here just comes Priest. It was great. I love it. This is what we needed. For a title match that feels like this has got Gunther's coronation written all over it of winning that world title, I'm still betting that way, but tonight did a whole lot more in the positive favor. But like, you know, maybe Priest has a chance, but if nothing else, I just can't wait to see the match and see the fight. Even if I think I know the winner, It's not going to go down easy. Priest is not. This is going to be a fight. And so I thought this was great stuff tonight.
Yeah, Jimmy. I mean, even like I said, even Jackie Redmond, she's like, now we're going to, I guess not.
Yeah.
This whole thing played out great. And I like Justin said, I think one of the best parts about this is how you would act. If you were Damian Priest, you wouldn't come out and be like, well, let me talk your ear off again. And Damian Priest has been kind of smiley lately and kind of jovial. I like, he's like, no, I'm a, because calling someone street trash is pretty hard. That's a pretty rough thing to call somebody, Jimmy. I love this.
No, I absolutely loved it as well. And Damian Priest walked down from the beginning. His music hit and he was coming out with a purpose. You saw it. It wasn't coming out playing to the crowd, prancing and displaying the championship. He was ready to do business. And like you said, I hate when they come out and say, I dare you to say that again. Well, he did just say it again. So wham, there you go. Get right into it. It's a fight. It's what anybody with, you know, who's insulted the way he was insulted would react. And I love the fact that they went to a break and it didn't magically just disperse the, you know, and all of a sudden we're going into the next segment, whatever it is. They were still going backstage. It was chaos. They were trying to get control and they couldn't get control. And I love that aspect of it. I thought it was a great way to start the show.
Justin, one more thing on this is I feel like, what are your thoughts on this? And Gunther's talking and kind of his perspective on this is that Damian Priest has not been a worthy champion or a good champion. And he hasn't lived up to being a world champion kind of person. Do you think that's kind of the right call to do with someone who's in their first championship reign and still sort of solidifying themselves as that main event player? Do you think that's kind of risking people actually agreeing with Gunther, if that makes sense?
I mean, there's a risk there, but I think they probably, I mean, I think whether they by design or just whatever, I think they kind of counteracted the moment that you might have thought, well, damn, Gunther's starting to actually say some things I think are kind of real. They went into the personal side. They went into your street trash. They went into, you know, you come from nothing. You don't matter. So it's like he said what he said to kind of say, to highlight why he needs to be champion and that this title deserves him. And of course we've seen him be a great champion as the Intercontinental champion. So like he's saying some things that, yeah, you might, well, how would I grade Priest's run? Mm-hmm. But before you could really dwell on that, before that becomes the defining thing of their feud, of their title match, they got personal and they got, and that's that's done it wonders. As I said, the promo last week and the exchange tonight. So I think they've handled this. They've handled it well. They've done again this. This, you know, this match, again, you knew it was going to happen. We've known it's going to happen for a couple months now. You know, at least we knew Gunther was going to be in it. And so, like, Gunther's just waiting there. So they had to find something to really spice this up, and they've done it. And it's believable, too. You know, Damian Priest, he did not come from riches. You know, he did have to fight his way up, you know, both in life and in the business. And Gunther, I don't know, but he at least is believable in the presentation that he comes from higher status in the world. So it fits. It works. Again, everybody can relate to it.
And really quickly, what they did tonight too is they got the reaction from the crowd they wanted, because going into this thing, a lot of people were concerned, but they're both heels. How's this going to play out? Who's the crowd going to really, are they going to get behind Damian Priest? Tonight, they got behind him.
I was just going to say, to your point to that, another thing they did a good job of tonight was, you know, when they start Raw and they like to show us the talent walking in the building, this and that, set the scene for the night. I love the fact that they separated the Judgment Day. You know, we saw the three schmucks in Finn, JD, and Dom. And they walked through, and everybody booed when they saw them, and then everybody popped when they saw Rhea and Priest looking at a phone and laughing, because like they're you know, and then there's Carlito carrying bags. Like, they did a perfect job, like, of identifying and saying, look, we understand that they're still in Judgment Day, and we clearly understand you like half of Judgment Day and you hate the other half of Judgment Day. So, like, they're letting the crowd know it's okay for you to cheer Priest tonight. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Just like you can cheer Rhea, because he and Rhea are the most like-minded right now, and then you got the other fools. So that was, again, a little subtle thing that I thought was smart by them and to start the show.
I just want to know what's in Carlito's bag. Is he carrying just a bag of apples into the building? Is that what it is? Doesn't have gear. He just wrestles in the stuff he's walking in with. So
you always got to have apples, Jimmy. That's to keep the doctor away. That's how it works. Speaking of Judgment Day, later on, Dom is really insecure about what Jey Uso said, and him and Rhea going back and forth. So him and the boys are going to go beat him up. When it's time for a beat, while they're looking, of course, Dom runs into Liv and they have a little exchange. Liv continues to dig her heels in. So later, Rhea drags Dom out to lure Liv Morgan to the ring like bait. But Liv Morgan comes out and says she has feelings for Dom, and Dom doesn't like girls like Rhea, which I audibly gasped at this point. Then Dom finally tells Liv he hates her, and Liv leaves in tears. Justin, so this whole show I was just giddy. I love this entire show, but I'll be honest, I felt really bad for Liv the way she was walking away in tears.
Yeah, I mean, the soap opera is very entertaining. You can argue it's the number one story in the company right now. Tonight did not go exactly the way I expected it, because Dom, you know, says he hates her and this and that, and you know, they put down Rhea, doesn't like girls like you, and then Dom runs down Liv and makes Liv cry, and Liv's supposed to be the heel in this, so it was a little, but I suspect that it's all going to kind of make sense once we see it unfold. I don't know about you, if my prediction is, it looks like things are back to paradise for Dom and Mommy, but let's see what Dom's actions are at SummerSlam, what his intentions are at SummerSlam, and then everything might truly come and play out. But yeah, this is the biggest winner of this has been Liv, right? I mean, Rhea was already so over. I mean, she walked into Mania's champion, left Mania's champion. Dom obviously gets some of the best heat of anybody. Liv, this has really put her at the next level. It sucks that it came. It sucks that what the catalyst for was her legitimately injuring Rhea. Now, obviously, that sucks. But now that Rhea seems to be back and okay, and it's great that this has elevated Liv Morgan and really given her more substance. Because prior to this, I've always enjoyed Liv. But prior to this, I've always kind of just summarized Liv as, well, she's a lifelong wrestling fan who's happy to be there. Mm-hmm. This now gives, like, now she's the homewrecker who's messing with Tom in the Judgment Day. This has been some good stuff. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, this is fantastic. This whole thing, again, I'm just eating this up. I'm enjoying it so much. But I got to ask you, Jimmy, you've seen a lot of locker rooms. You've seen a lot of groups of friends. Mm-hmm. Is Finn Balor the best friend you could ask for here? I mean, Jey Uso's talking to Dom's girl, and he's like, no, Dom, don't worry. You and I, we're going to go beat this dude up. And then he tries to keep her away from Liv. He tries to smooth things out with Finn Balor, friend of the year.
Yeah, he's trying to keep, he's the only one trying to keep that entire group together. He's trying to keep Judgment Day together while everybody else is off doing their own thing. But the one thing, the other thing that surprised me was when Dom went off on Liv, it was almost like the audience was expecting him to say those other three words to her. Not, I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that caught a lot of them off guard. And it was almost like, okay, now should we boo him or should we not boo him? Are we cool with this now? But they've got everybody guessing, and that's the beautiful of it. And like you guys said, the layers that they keep adding to this story, the little things, like what happens in the back, in the clubhouse, with the Judgment mm-hmm. Day clubhouse, and the little nuances where JD actually spills the beans, and that's what causes Rhea to drag Dom out to the ring and stuff like that. And it's fun. It's enjoyable. And yes, I know people want to see their wrestling in the ring, but we also want to have some fun too.
I just want to talk to you real quick. Last thing on this part is the acting is great. They're playing these roles so well. Rhea Ripley looked like she literally was trying to break away from Dom there to mm-hmm. go attack Liv Morgan. And like I said, Liv Morgan kind of broke my heart when she was crying. I'm sorry, Liv. Like, it's okay, you know? And of course, Dom, I don't know how much of it's an act, but he's just the perfect dumb lucky guy who's between these two. Who's in the right place at the right time, I guess. I don't know, but it's all just being played so perfectly. It leads to the main event, and it's Jey Uso and Sami Zayn versus the Judgment Day. Not sure if a lot of story beats come out of this outside of the Bron Breakker thing that happens at the end, but Jimmy, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, internet loved them as a team together. They say tag team championships in the future. Would you agree?
I like them as a tag team, but I don't think they should tag together just yet. I liked let Sami have his run with Bron Breakker for now, and then Jey Uso is a hot singles talent right now, and you don't mm-hmm. want to. I don't like using this term. You don't want to hamstring him in a tag team right now. I think he's a hot commodity by himself, so I don't think it's the right time for Jey to, especially with what we're anticipating with what might happen with the Bloodline once things get going with that, with the return of a certain tribal chief that we're hoping happens soon. So I don't think it should happen yet. But for as far as a tag team, they did work really well together. I thought it was a banger of a tag match. These guys, you know, Sammy's just a brilliant at working from underneath and as the sympathetic babyface. And they had a couple of hot tags that got the crowd into it. And I thought the match was great.
Justin, any thoughts on the main event? One thing I thought stood out to me that I didn't really see talked about a lot is I did notice JD McDonagh has quietly been getting more offense in and not looking as slip on a banana peel in the ring as he has in the past. And I'm not saying he's been dominant or anything, but I wonder if this is a subtle, like we're starting to get you him to a point where he's supposed to be more dangerous in the ring, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I mean, it definitely feels like Judgment Day is nearing their expiration date, right? With all the dynamics going on. Your commentary even had a moment tonight where they said, like, I think Michael Cole said it, like, you know, we make fun of this goof JD, but don't sleep on him in the ring. He is dangerous. And, you know, so yeah, I think if the Judgment Day is soon to start to look different, if there even is a Judgment Day post SummerSlam, yeah, I mean, you want to have elevated, you know, he started as the lackey, he had to work his way in, but you still want to have elevated him and get it so where his roster spot's valuable, like why he's there. And yeah, I agree with Jimmy. You know, this was a really exciting tag match. You know, Jey and Sami make sense because there's history there from Sami's, you know, Usy days. But I would agree, like Jey Uso spent the last 20 years in a tag team. This is, you know, the people love him. You can put him out there in singles matches. Like, so he is an over singles babyface. So I don't think that you need to just put him in a tag team, even though I think Sami Zayn's IC title reign might be coming near the end. I just, yeah, I wouldn't strap him into a tag team right now. I mean, like, unless like a bunch of other tag teams on the men's side all of a sudden get injured or sick or something like that, and you're in desperation to fill the division out. But if that's not the case, I would not, you know, run. And again, we're all waiting. We all think this bloodline stuff's not going anywhere in terms of, you know, when the next bloodline member gets introduced and when Roman comes back, and then we get into Survivor Series and what sides could we have there when The Rock pops back up. Like, so I don't think you know, I'm sure Jay will have, you know, you want to be able to use him if needed. So yeah, I wouldn't tag team him long term. But yeah, great main event, fun main event.
Goodfellow here says moonsault is pretty smooth. Yeah, that was a beautiful moonsault from JD McDonagh.
JD's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
he can go.
That well, is, and mind you, he was trained by Finn Balor. Right. So yeah. So if you think Finn's good in the ring, this is who JD's learned from.
Right. Yeah. No, he's great. It's just you get accustomed to him being the goof, and then he pulls out the big moonsault, and you're like, oh yeah, you can go.
Also, Jack, I have to tell you, it's not slip on a banana peel when it comes to Judgment Day. It's slip on an apple core.
Yes, yeah, yes. Fair point. but as I said, the end of this one has Braun Breaker take out Sami Zayn. Earlier in the night, Braun Breaker had a number one contenders match for the IC Championship with Ilya Dragunov, and these two just beat the hell out of each other. Eventually ends as Dragunov is unable to continue and gets counted out, giving Braun the win. Jimmy, I see you wiping your forehead. This was we start with that Damian Priest Gunther segment, and then we go into this, and Braun Breaker seemed like he was legitimately upset at Dragunov. These guys just killed each other. Of course, Braun Breaker gets the win. Thoughts on this one?
I like the fact that the match, besides loving the match overall, I love the fact that the match didn't start off with collar, elbow, tie up, headlock, takeover, shoot me up, whatever, you know, all that stuff. These guys got into it right away. It became a fight, almost not quite like Damian, of course, and Gunther, but it, you know, these guys looked like there was animosity. And you could see it in their faces, the way they were presenting themselves and selling everything and selling emotion. And that's what Ilya Dragunov does really, really well, is he sells emotion. And they told a hell of a story, that whole story. What was the story of the match? Ilya Dragunov, Braun Breaker working on his ribs. That move on the top of the corner post,
yeah,
was something very unique. When was the last time you saw something similar to that on the actual ring post as opposed to the turnbuckle? So that was very, very unique and leads to how they did the finish, where he jumped off the apron and took the spear in midair. It was just done right. Not to correct you, Jack, but I don't think it was considered a count out. I think it was referee stoppage, because Daphne got out of the ring to check on him to see if he could continue and said, no, she waved it off. That he couldn't continue. So I don't mean to get technical, but I think it was considered ref stoppage.
Well, I was actually going to ask you that, because I thought I could have sworn I saw her count, but then they didn't announce it as a.
She started the count, but then she went out. And I think the stoppage is way more impactful than the count out.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, like the count, I mean, obviously. Jimmy should chime in here again. obviously, he's done a few of these. Yeah, the count out's like. The count out.
Jimmy's
like,
had a few conversations about count outs over the past week. I think maybe he can sit this one out.
I try to take a vacation, but even my Twitter still sent me notifications. Like the count out, you know, the count out's the ref giving the talent 10 seconds to try to get back in. When the ref says, "The hell with it, I'm not even counting. I'm coming out there. You're done." That's like huge impact. But it also, but Jimmy, correct? It this finish. Obviously, it makes Braun look like a beast.
Right. I think so.
But the finish also, in my mind, to me, it protects Dragunov.
Yeah.
He didn't get pinned. He didn't get submitted. He probably would have wanted to keep fighting, but the ref came out and said, no, you're not doing this. We're done. Mm-hmm. So I think that protects Dragunov. And so I thought it was the right call. And especially when you consider Braun had an IC title match at the last PLE, and he lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, if you're going to have him earn his way for another one, it's got to be impactful the way that he earns it. I think this is about as impactful as a finish they could have done without completely, you know, again, making Dragunov just lay there for a three. You know,
I absolutely agree, because he could come back later and say, listen, I wanted to continue, but the referee did what she felt was right at the time. and I'm not holding her responsible. I'm going to fight my way back and show that I can, I'm, you know, deserving of an opportunity for the IC championship or whatever the case may be. And then, little nitpicky as I can be sometimes, I would have liked to seen Daphne show a little more concern. You know, as I'm very adamant about referees not being overly emoting and overly selling in the ring. But at the same time, this was a situation where I think she could have shown a little more concern, a little more urgency. Look, wave it off and say, we need some help right now or something along those lines. Just a little bit to add to it. That's all.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a good point. This, I don't know how exactly they plan to do that, but it legitimately looked like he may have really hurt himself in that spot too. The way his head hit the ring, that looked brutal. So I don't know if hitting his head was part of the plan, but it sure looked good on TV. Hopefully he's okay. As Tuck says, we didn't see an X. So I'm hoping that means that everything is okay. But when people hit their head, that's always a scary thing.
They don't do the X anymore, Tuck.
Oh, yeah, and yeah. Jimmy's not going to tell you what they do now.
Nope.
You'll never know.
Nope.
We got, speaking of exes, CM Punk and Drew McIntyre.
Nice segue. I love
there
that.
We go. I'm a pro. CM Punk wants to fight and calls out Drew McIntyre. Drew says, nope. But officials come in after CM Punk tries to keep on going. And Pierce says, look, we're going to have the match at SummerSlam. And Seth Rollins is going to be the special guest referee. Another just perfectly done segment. I loved it. Justin, we are getting that SummerSlam match we all wanted. Seth Rollins as the special referee, though. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first off, I'm glad that they didn't just, Seth has history with both men. Let's just put him in and make a triple threat. No. There's been so much since Royal Rumble of Drew and Punk. Don't muddy that. Get your box office out of that. You can have a box office with Seth and Punk later at a different event. So I'm glad that they didn't just go that. But I'm also glad they're not just having Rollins just sit on the sideline because he really doesn't have anything else to do. Obviously, he's done. He obviously, because Punk screwed the last PLE, Rollins can't challenge Priest. You know, so it's like Rollins needs something to do. So the refereeing thing, make the guest referee makes sense because one, gives Rollins something to do. Two, it adds some juice to the marquee of having him up there. Three, it actually does make sense. And I wish Michael Cole and commentary would have been a little bit louder with this, and maybe they will between now and SummerSlam with the wonderful vignettes and stuff that WWE's production does. They touched on it briefly, but of no referee wants to get involved with this anymore, right? I mean, we've seen the referees. We've seen CM Punk steal referee shirts. We've seen referees get knocked out. You know, the two referees are asking for apologies from Drew. I want them to be a little bit louder. The fact of like, okay, even the licensed WWE officials or referees are like, no, we just can't handle this nonsense. We're not putting ourselves in that danger. And so that's why we're going to Seth freaking Rollins. That makes sense. I want them to be a little bit louder about that between now and the event, because they weren't loud about it, as loud as they should have been tonight, in my opinion. But when you hear all that, it does make total sense, it's this is gonna be fun because it's not doesn't like either of them. Nobody, they all hate each other. So this is gonna be a fun dynamic. You know, Seth's not gonna want to count three to either of them. He's not gonna want to, you know, enforce a five count on us. You know, he's gonna just let them just beat the hell out of each other and choke each other to death. There's a lot of dynamics that could be at play here, and so it's gonna be fun. You know, it makes me think of. SummerSlam 97 and East Rutherford. It makes me think of Brett versus Taker with Sean as the ref. Right. Nobody likes anybody. Nobody trusts anybody here. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking actually when this came up and that allows them to also then pivot this once it's over into something different and gives them a lot of leeway coming out of this. I do feel a little bit bad for Seth at this point in the sense that the last big event, WrestleMania, his match didn't really pan out the way it was supposed to, so he got tacked on to something else. Now, this time around, it's SummerSlam, next big event, he's kind of tacked on to something else. He's one of my favorites, so I want him to be in his own thing, but it's just kind of the way things work out. He he's in a good spot. I'm not worried about the fella. I just kind of I wish he'd. I'd love for him to be on one of these big tent pole events with his own thing. But Jimmy, Drew McIntyre, I thought was phenomenal in this. I thought the way CM Punk looked incensed during this was just another. I'm gushing over this week. I told you I love this one. Just great, great segment overall.
I love the fact that Drew wasn't angry Drew and ready to beat everybody up, including everyone backstage, anybody, production crew, anybody with a microphone. It didn't matter. I like that he was like, he had that confidence, that cockiness where he was like, yeah, I want to fight you too, but not today. And in a sense, CM Punk, who is now, it was kind of like a role reversal kind of thing. So I enjoyed that. And I'm just wondering now with, when you have Seth Rollins as a special guest referee, what happens when you have one of the superstars as a special guest referee? That's when you get referee's discretion.
Right.
Not when the regular referees are in the ring. So now they're free will to go out there and do what they want, and he could sit on the top turnbuckle and let them beat the living you-know-what out of each other and let it make sense. And that's where you can have all your bells and whistles after with that. Because if they want to pull out a table, let's say, for example, and go through that, do you think Seth is going to disqualify somebody for that? It's his discretion. He's the referee, right?
Right.
Now it makes sense. For me, anyways.
Jimmy, what are your thoughts on them having wrestlers be referees? Are you a little bit like, hey, like you make it look like anyone can do this, or do you not care? Like from the referees, like in reality, how do referees feel when they find out someone else is going to be a referee?
Well, the good referees like it because it adds some emphasis to the match. It adds importance to the match and makes it feel like it's something that we can't handle because we're not supposed to be the tough guys in the ring. If you have a Stone Cold Steve Austin as a special enforcer or a special referee, then you're saying, okay, here's a guy who could handle anything. It doesn't matter who's in the ring. If they get saucy, guess what? They're going to get some sauce back and that sort of thing. So in certain situations, it works. And in this situation, it does work. And especially with that dynamic where nobody likes each other. They all have an issue with each other. So it kind of plays into it perfectly.
I thought you were going to say the good referees like it because it means you don't have to work as much.
I was trying to keep that to myself. I didn't want
Jimmy work smarter, not harder.
Jimmy, talk about getting saucy, and obviously the great Earl Hebner was just on TV the other day.
Yeah.
Do you remember the spot? They might have done it many a times on like house shows and stuff like that. But there's one time I can remember on a pay per view. Do you remember this real quick? It was a May in your house. I think it was 97.
Was this with Hunter?
No, there's another one with Hunter. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. This was Undertaker versus Stone Cold. Stone Cold was not yet quite Stone Cold, but that was the match. It was an In Your House. I mean, I want to say it might have been like In Your House, Cold Day in Hell, something like that. And like all the Hart Foundation was ringside. I think the finish even had like Pillman like hitting the bell or whatever. But in the match, before we got to the finish, at one point, Hebner like was admonishing Austin, who's technically the heel still because Taker's the face.
Right.
He's admonishing Austin, and Hebner turns his back to check on Taker, and Austin starts like middle finger and MFing him and this and that or whatever. And then about somewhere like 30 seconds later, Hebner and Austin are at it, and Hebner gives him the receipt and gives him a big middle finger and F you audibly to him. And the sequence is so awesome. It was like the most badass saucy that I've ever seen a referee up to that point in my life ever be. And it's always stood out in my mind. I don't know if you remember it or not, but
I do kind of remember it. But it was Earl. Every once in a while you get somebody like you get a little Nate doing a little Nate thing every once in a while. When it fits the situation.
Or the first time I ever saw the heel holding on to the rope to cinch in that extra pressure on the submission, and then when they wouldn't break, the referee kicks the arm.
I've done that. I've done that spot, and people it gets a reaction. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I only do it when I'm told to do it. I'm not going to go into business for myself. Trust me.
What was the sauciest moment you ever had, Jimmy?
Did you
get any good ones where you got to be saucy to a wrestler?
I don't know how saucy a little bit at times.
Well, you kicked their hands.
Well, I've done a spot where I've kicked their hand off the rope. I accidentally caused Val Venus one time to crotch himself when he was going for the money shot. It was against D'Lo Brown, and he had grabbed D'Lo Brown's chest protector and put it on himself. And of course, commentary was putting it over like, well, D'Lo Brown has been cleared to wear it, not Valvina. So I'm trying to stop him. So I grabbed his foot and he accidentally crushed himself. Then afterwards, I ate a money shot after that. So
yeah, you damaged the big Valboski.
And I paid for it. Trust me.
By the way, Flobo Boyce in the chat, of course, host here on Wrestling Inc. His favorite wrestler of all time is D'Lo Brown. So shout out to Flobo and to D'Lo Brown. I guess
some of the best entrance music ever.
Oh, you're looking at the real deal. So good. Now, what wrestle was that?
Your ass is beat. Victory is sweet. Bring it on. Here's your receipt. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do about it? I love that song. Tremendous. Oh my!
Look at that pool. How quick that pool was there.
That was such a good song, Justin. You're the DJ tonight, man. You got all that. Was that? But that got to be. That had to be the music for.
I think so. Yeah.
Of course, like that. Anyways,
I also remember the lyrics of Disco Inferno's entrance music in WCW. That's how lame
Disco
I am.
Disco.
He's so cocky. He's so cool. He's just a disco dancing fool. When he gets out on the floor, he makes the girls go more. Disco.
Was that a Jimmy Hart song?
Probably.
Look, everyone.
I can see Jimmy snapping and pitching it to the.
Looking exactly how he's always
the same
looked.
Way he's looked for 45 years.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
So, really, kind of the biggest news of the day, Akira Tozawa's birthday was today, and Akira is ready! He gets some birthday cake with the boys. Then they go to face the Final Testament, and even though it's Akira's birthday and it's Otis's hometown, Final Testament gets the win, a much-needed win. Post-match, Chad Gable comes out with the Creeds. They come out to confront the Alpha Academy. Gable gives them one more chance to join them. Otis says no, and the Alpha Academy beats him up. Afterwards, the Wyatt Six come out, and Uncle Howdy hits the Sister Abigail on Chad Gable. We also had a very disturbing video of Nikki Cross earlier in the night. Justin, this has been kind of the biggest developments since you were last on the show, so I'd love to hear your thoughts. I mean, obviously, you can talk about Alpha Academy and Creed Brothers, Final Testament, but really, I think what everyone wants to hear about is Wyatt Six in these videos.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, let me say, these last few weeks, I've been happy with how the Wyatt Six overall have been rolled out. My big thing that I wanted, I talked about it here, talked about on Busted Open, on socials, everywhere, was once we saw the initial debut of them, I was like, okay, we need to give some explanation and context to each of these characters, and let's not play dumb. I love the Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy back and forth tape that we got a few weeks ago. Let's not ignore that we all know who Uncle Howdy is. Should they be calling him Bo Dallas? That's a separate thing, because Bo Dallas to the WWE audience has only ever been a kind of a ridiculous comedy character. So should he be Taylor Rotunda? Whatever, that's a whole other thing. But nonetheless, I like what they did. The Eric Rowan, God, talk about emotion, especially when you know that he's speaking truthfully, that he's lost both of his original Wyatt family brothers. And now we got a little one with the Nikki Cross character. Don't know if she's Abigail the Witch or who she's going to be. So I like the lead up all overall. I like what they're doing here. Positive tonight, when that music hits and the lights go down, crowd pops. That's good. When they saw Uncle Howdy, that was the biggest pop for him that I've heard, because prior to that, the pops kind of came when they saw the group collectively. So the fact they saw Howdy individually, they popped for him, and then he delivered a tremendous, and obviously hats off to Chad Gable for selling it, a tremendous Sister Abigail, the way that it was taken. And I mean, it looked devastating. And the crowd really reacted. So that's a huge positive. One thing that I will say, it is a little weird, is that, you know, that, and this is 2 weeks in a row now that they've had, I think 2 weeks in a row, they've had the rest of the characters, you know, come from the curtain, from the entranceway. Girl. And they're just standing there posing. And it's like, well, the debut with them, they massacred and bloodied people right behind the curtain. So it seems a bit odd that they would, it just seems odd that you'd have them be come from that same, you know, I'm not sure what the best alternative is. If it is just having them appear at different parts of the arena, if it's having them, but that's just like, they did such a big, boldly produced one camera shot. I mean, it was one of the most viral things on their social ever. When they made that debut of that camera following along, us seeing what looked like a murder scene. So that does seem odd to have them come from that same place. Now, I tweeted something about this earlier tonight, and I will say I had one person did reply and say, well, we saw briefly that Bo Dallas was in Adam Pearce's office a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe all is okay, which maybe that's a thing, but, like, you need to spell that out almost to a point of, like, you need to have Adam Pearce almost say, like, I've talked to Bo. He and his friends are a little conflicted, but, like, I, like, you need to, like, address something, because it is kind of odd.
Yeah.
That's my biggest nitpick. Otherwise, though, I'm still having fun with this. So,
it is. And now that you bring it up, it does make you think, like, that initial attack didn't really. I mean, I get you want to get our attention, but yeah, now it hasn't really contributed much to what the actual characters are. But it does, I guess, set a tone for them. I say every week, I feel like, man, you've got to do something to keep me on board, because you can't just keep repeating the same thing. But they always give us just a little bit more every time. It's like, okay, we're building. To Justin's point, I think it's interesting. It reminds me of the Spider-Man movies where the crowd, you know, Spider-Man, everyone loves Spider-Man, but people don't necessarily love Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everyone loves Uncle Howdy. Still not sure if the crowd loves Bo Dallas, because when Bo Dallas comes out, the reaction is not the same as when Uncle Howdy comes out, which is very interesting. But again, I thought this worked out well. And also, I really like that the fact that Nikki Cross's video, especially after Eric Rowan's, was different. So personal and emotional, very different, but also very disturbing. This was probably the most disturbing one to me so far, I thought, Jimmy.
I thought so, too. And we saw the conflict with Bo Dallas in those two videos that we saw from him. And as Justin said, we saw that very emotional one from Eric Rowan last week, which it hit hard. I was watching it and go, you know, I was getting choked up. I was, you know, I was feeling it. And that's, you know, that's the incredible beauty. That's the magic that they do sometimes, is when they make you feel what they're feeling, you know. And but today's with Nikki Cross was something completely different. It was scary. Mm-hmm. It was something that made you go, oh, this is someone I have to be aware of. This is someone that, you know, it wasn't somebody showing their inner emotions. It wasn't somebody showing the side that they're conflicted with. This was someone who has just got this evil persona, and you've got to be aware of what's going on. And she's the keeper of the lamp, of the lantern. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she's the one who controls the lantern. She's always the one who carries it. And, of course, the videotapes. But it was completely different from everything else. And that's another thing I liked about it. It's not the same with everybody. Not everybody is sitting in the chair getting analyzed by whoever they're speaking to them.
Yeah. It's going to be, I mean, it looks like we're kind of headed towards maybe Chad Gable versus Uncle Howdy at SummerSlam. That's going to be a huge test to see if they can keep with this interest and momentum, because, like, you know, again, Uncle Howdy looked cool under dim lights, a few strobes going off and smoke and delivering that Sister Abigail. If we have all the house lights up and the rings lit like it is for every other match, how is this going to look? Is it going to look good? You know, I throw this out there. I even wonder if maybe let's learn from what we've seen in the past. You know, we've had graveyard matches on Mania when that was hit with a pandemic, The Undertaker. We've had cinematic matches with the Wyatts. I almost wonder if, do you take from what you've seen in the past of what works, and is there anything that you can do live with this Wyatt Six under full lighting? Like, can you keep the mystique? Do you want them in bell-to-bell wrestling matches where they have to sell? They can't just be in. I mean, they're acknowledging that these are humans. They're mortals. Should their people that go to if we go to a WWE event at this point, yeah, you want to see the promos. You want to see the spookiness for the build. You want to see that. Do you really want to see Uncle Howdy collar and elbow tie-up, drop toe hold? Or are we better off for any of the payoffs of matches of the conflicts when they need to resolve the conflicts? Are we better off having all that be cinematic, be pre-taped, be done with all the bells and whistles? And yeah, 10,000 people in the arena are going to have to watch from their screen.
Right.
But the 3 million people at home are going to get a damn good experience. Mm-hmm. What ratio is more important here? I wonder, like, we've learned from the past, and we obviously saw some faults, and granted, Vince did not help things, but we saw some faults with, let's put the Fiend out there in a wrestling match.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We got to book a ridiculous ending to a Hell in a Cell because he's a Fiend, but we need, like, so like maybe take from what you've learned and say, look, the audience just wants to see the characters and hear the music and be part of that deal. They don't really necessarily care to see a 15-minute wrestling match with them. Let's let that resolve be done in our pre-production format.
You got my wheels turning again. I know you're thinking of doing something off, you know, in a cinematic form like they've done in the past. But if you're going to have a live match in the arena, especially somewhere like SummerSlam where you're in a stadium setting, what do you think of this, Justin, where they make their grand entrance like they always do? Let's say Uncle Howdy makes his entrance into the ring. When they bring up the house lights for the match to start, he does some kind of motion where he lifts his arms up. Undertaker, but Undertaker-ish. The lights dim. I know they like to shoot the crowd. They like to show that the arena and the stadiums are full, but dim the lights where just the ring is lit. Just the ring and ringside, and you don't see any crowd, and have the match go that way.
All I can
from
say,
a visual standpoint.
Well, yeah. I personally, Jimmy, I'm okay with that, but I'm gonna say this. It seems that history has shown I'll take us back almost 30 years here in a second, 25 years at least. History has shown, you know, with Bray's unfortunate, untimely last match, which was that Mountain Dew Code Red match, they kept the real dim lighting and whatever, and people just poo-pooed that. And they tried a few other times with Fiend and Bray Wyatt stuff, or they tried to have lights dim, and it didn't last very long. If you even recall back, and Jimmy, this is when you're working there, so you should remember this well. Go back to 97. They tried for the first few matches with Kane to keep it red.
That's right.
And I can only assume that they were getting just negative feedback and something wasn't sitting, because that eventually they had to lift that up. That it just never sticks. It's just something about it. I don't know if it's a problem on TV. I don't know if it's a problem for the crowd live. Whatever. That just seems like that experiment doesn't hang on. So that's why I say learn from the past and say, look, there's no real great way to do it in front of a live crowd. Mm-hmm. So do all the spooky vignette stuff week to week in front of a live crowd. That's fine. But when it comes time to where if you need a payoff match, let's toss the video and do it that way.
Yeah, it'd be very intriguing to see how they do it. Because, Justin, you're right. He can't – it's going to limit other wrestlers. Because, Uncle Howdy can brawl and fight, and that would look more realistic, I guess. But, you're right. You can't do any – you know, like arm ringers and
Uncle Howdy with the headlock takeover there. He's really cinching it in.
Abdominal stretch.
Right. Yeah. It's good. That'll seem very weird. So, yeah, I don't know how they're going to do this. And it'd be fun to see, though. I'm excited. One last thing I do want to say about the video of Nikki Cross. Maybe I'm just wrong on this, but because she was smiling at the beginning and then crying at the end, it makes me wonder if we are seeing that she was she crying because she doesn't actually want to be a part of this? Maybe there's a level of her that's not excited about being in the group as opposed to wanting to be there. I don't know. Just something I thought. Maybe wrong. Maybe nothing to do with it. But Lara Valkyria and Sonya Deville have a match, and Zelina Vega and Zoe Stark have a match. Sonya Deville gets the win in her match, and Zelina Vega gets the win in hers. This group, kind of this women's division gang of bullies, is 50-50 on their win-loss record, Jimmy, and now they are pointing fingers at the tag team champions. Any thoughts on this group and what they were doing tonight?
I think it's a step forward for the women's division as a whole, but at the same time, this group is still not clicking 100% for me. I want to see a little bit more from them. Yes, they have the Sonya Deville. You talk about somebody who's been stop and start. I think a lot of people are thinking that, you know, here we go again. Are they trying again? And I want to see her talking now is better than it was. She's a little bit better with the microphone, but still, there's just something missing in that group. I can't put my finger on it, but I think the crowd spoke volumes when they didn't say much or they didn't react much.
Yeah, Justin, do you think this is a group that is suffering because there's no championships or anything for them to really go for? The tag team titles there, but it also feels like the real next challengers are either going to be Jade and Bianca or Chelsea and Piper. And though they're talking smack to the champions, I just don't believe that they're actually going to be in line for anytime soon.
Yeah, there's a clear A division and B division in the women's division right now. A class and B class. And when I and if I say you're in the B class, it's not because it's for lack of trying or it's nothing that. It's, and I'm talking strictly on perception to the crowd, because you're right. You have Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill and Nia Jax and Bayley. You have an A division, you know, by the way, you know, when Charlotte comes back and when Becky comes back, like, there's an A division of like star power of like you hear the music. And you're on your feet. This is the B division of, again, these ladies are doing nothing wrong. They're trying to do what they can with the time they're given. But yeah, there's just not a lot of connection right now. There's still that's just not there. I don't know what the answer is. I don't have the answer to that. But this, you know, and look, this is it's the cutthroat environment you want, because as we talked about kind of early on in this episode here. You know, as they are signing more international talent, they sign Steffi Vacher, and they're signing more and more. And granted, those signings might be designated NXT to start. It's a cutthroat environment. Your spot is never guaranteed. But that's the direction the company's moving, and that's what they want. They want that. They want to be able to choose from the best of the best. And you know, they're trying. They're giving something here. They gave a little promo to Zelina Vega there at the entranceway. So they're trying. Right now, it still is. There's a clear A class and B class. And all of this right now kind of just meddles into a B class of the fans are like, you know, then you have
Isla Dawn and Alba Fire.
No, fine. the two that came out with Valkyrie.
Carter and
thank you. You know, they've tried, like, they're trying. It's just not there yet.
See, and that's the problem, Justin, and no disrespect to the ladies, is now you're trying to remember who they are, and it just, again, people are not clicking. It's not clicking with the people.
I wanted to say the party girls. The girls will come out, you know, to do the rave thing.
right. last thing, Bronson Reed has a match scheduled with Pete Dunne, but Sheamus comes out and just takes them both out later, calls out Pete Dunne, says we can either have a drink or we can have a banger. Jimmy, this one seems like it's pretty straightforward. How you liking it so far, though?
I'm okay with Sheamus helping. Again, I think he's put in that position where he's going to try and elevate some other talent. Bronson Reed is one that's still scratching my head about, because, you know, just when you think he's on a roll, the brakes are put on again. Or the tire stops rolling. So other than that, it looks like Pete Dunne's in for a banger with Sheamus. I'm just curious to see what more we get out of Pete Dunne other than a good match in the ring. Yeah. And that's what I want to see. I want to see where his persona is, where his character is going forward.
Yeah. Justin, we talked about how talented everything is in WWE right now, everyone, and how hard it is to find a spot. These are three guys who I think any other time in wrestling, we'd be like, oh, they're definitely secure in a spot. But right now it's like, I guess you guys will have a match and, you know, fight for time here. It's kind of insane that Sheamus isn't a featured player right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Sheamus fan. I'm a huge Bronson Reed fan, and I appreciate Pete Dunne as well. So, yeah, it's kind of like I like seeing all three of these guys on TV, but the answer is not this, because, again, I'm very critical in other companies when they do this, notably AEW. But the answer is not, okay, let's find some more title belts to have. I'm not suggesting we have, oh, here's the WWE television title. I'm not suggesting we add more titles, but this is kind of a situation of, like, all three deserve to be on TV, but there's, like, a lack of, like, the audience, like, having necessarily maybe the substance of, like, okay, well, why are we fighting? Why do I care? You know, again, so I don't know what the answer is here. Again, I'm a Bronson Reed fan, but I keep saying every time he goes to a new city and they see him get to the top rope and he does that tsunami, they go, oh, and he makes an impact. But that's his A number one. So is it, you know, do we need to hone the mic skills? Do we need to get some more? Do I need to get some more backstory on him? Is that what it is? Sheamus, obviously, we know his story. He's a Hall of Famer. Pete Dunne is the bruiserweight, right? He's the, you know, it's like maybe we got to get into the weeds some more with the storytelling of specifically of Dunn and Reed. I don't know, but like they should be on Raw. I don't think they're taking up spots that are unjust, but the substance here was kind of lacking for me.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And it's funny, if you go to a different time in pro wrestling, I'd probably be like, oh, this is okay. But I feel like this standard is so high right now that, Yeah, I feel like, I want more now, which is a good thing. But at the same time, I feel bad because I like all three of them. So there's where we are. That's the show. We covered everything. Again, I thought this was great. I loved every – this was such a good – this was one of my favorites, and it caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting to like 2 weeks out from SummerSlam to have such a good time watching wrestling. But sometimes summer wrestling surprises you. Justin, any final thoughts, and where can the world find you online when you're not – on vacation?
Yeah, good Monday Night Raw. You're right. Yeah, you know, we're 2 weeks out for SummerSlam. This is they're trending in all the right ways. Obviously, they're harping as loud as they can. They're on Sci-Fi for the next 2 weeks, so that way they don't lose any significant chunk of viewers. Yeah, a lot of stuff excited to shape up here for SummerSlam. The world can find me on socials at Justin the Bar. Of course, I'm back here with you fellas every Monday night here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and then you can find me every single Sunday morning on Busted Open on Sirius XM Radio Channel 156, or you get the Sirius XM app and listen to us live or on demand, or you can get a condensed, like, 30-minute version of the 3-hour radio show via podcast, myself and Jonathan Hood. So, there's no, when I'm not vacationing, there's no avoiding me.
Yeah. All good stuff. It's good to have you back, Jimmy. I've been chatting with you a bunch lately, but how did you feel about the show, and where can we find you online?
No, I agree. I liked Raw tonight. Usually it's the go home show that gets everybody pumped up, but they're pumping me up early, which is a good thing. I don't have any problems with it. I'm looking forward to see what the follow up is both on SmackDown and on Raw next week to see how they're leading into SummerSlam. And as far as where you can find me, obviously, like Justin said, here with Triple J on Monday nights, Jack, it's usually you and I on Wednesdays, and I guess George is, I don't remember if George is with us again this week, but sometimes we get a little spicy, and like we did last week with the argument about countouts, but we'll save it for Wednesday. And, you know, you can catch me on the Refin It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, our producer who holds the glue together. This week we got Joe Gallo coming up from NWA. Yeah. So we're going to have a fun chat with him, and my riff and rants from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, tightening screws that I believe need tightening. And who knows, some other stuff may be in the works. You never know.
Well, we are actually going to be on Wednesday. Well, you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. It's going to be Jack Farmer, Jimmy Corderas, and John Jordan coming to join us again. John making a rare appearance. Always good to have John on the show. So everyone's got to tune in. It's going to be special appointment viewing. So that'll be a fun time. So everyone check that out. But also
keep it up with Triple J.
We have a gimmick, you know. You got to keep Triple J. If your name, if your real name doesn't start with a J, you got to change it. That's the rule. Yeah. We're gonna start. calling Flobo Jamie or something like that.
Yeah. No, I don't. I guess you can't call him Jobo because he sounds like a jabroni or something like that.
Yeah, Jobo does sound like what you call a jabroni.
Yeah, I don't know. But George, we can change it. Jorge.
He's Jorge.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. Perfect. Well, yeah, follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm calling the action at Santino Brothers LA Rumble on Saturday. It's like the Royal Rumble, but it's Southern California wrestlers. 30 people are going to be there. And what's Jimmy?
I forgot. Happy birthday to my wife. It's after midnight. I have to wish her a happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, of course. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Wait.
How could I forget?
You mean it's now her birthday? Her birthday's not over.
No. Her birthday, the 23rd. So since we're past midnight here on the East Coast.
Okay. I was about to say, if her birthday was the 22nd and you're just now saying something.
You wouldn't be seeing me on Monday, Wednesday, or any other night.
I think you missed the boat.
Happy birthday, Audra.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Audra. I think that's as good a place as any to sign up. Follow at Wrestling Inc. Happy birthday, Audra, from the whole Triple J crew. That does it for us, everyone. We're hitting end stream.
Bye. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.